Okay. Great. Praise God. We already started some warring. The name of my message today, and also I guess I should say what day it is. Today is the what? 7/17/2011, Sunday morning at Faith Bible Church. And the name of my message is The Battle for Control. You know, a lot of times we don't even think about it. When we wake up in the morning, we just kind of get out the bed. Sometimes some starts catching our attention, our mind, things on our mind. But we're in a war. There's a war going on. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. But the wonderful thing is, if you've trusted in Christ, that He died for your sins, He took your place, He took your punishment, and you come to Him with nothing in your hands, just trust in what He did, God takes you out of this kingdom of darkness and conveys you into the kingdom of His Son. And it's not like Star Wars, you know, they're equal, these two kingdoms. See, the battle's already been won at the cross. Christ broke the power of Satan. It said He destroyed him. Does that mean He's not around? No, He's around, but He destroyed His power. He destroyed the power of sin, that sin nature in us. So it's like under grace, they watch you teach that grace stuff because they'll just go out and sin. Oh no, grace gives us no excuse to sin. The sin nature's been broke. But it's very subtle. You know, actually, I think it almost gets worse than Christians because it gets more subtle. You know, so you don't notice where it's coming from in your mind. And we got an enemy. But he's been defeated. His power's been broke. But he's like in the war. Somebody in the jungle. The leader of their army. But he won't accept he's been defeated. And what he's doing, he's still trying to jump people. And what he does, he starts spreading little things to people. Comes out of the shadows. You know, and if you don't take this word, and if I don't take this word and apply it, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. We're not going to walk in victory. That's so important, getting into this word. We're going to see, I'm going to get to it in one sec. We're in a war, and if we're going to walk victorious, we got to walk the way God wants us to walk. Where do you find our instruction? Paul's epistles, but they're instructions, they're commands of Christ that we should obey. But it's the motivation ain't fear. It's love and grace and dependence. There's a difference. Paul gives us the commands of Christ. You know that? We got commands. But it's not, if you don't do them, you're going to get punished. But you find out, when you apply the Word of God to the details of your life, it's not you're without problems. We're still in the war. But you walk as a good soldier. You walk and you enjoy your life. There's joy and peace in the midst of the problems. When I'm focused on the Lord, I have joy and peace. Those circumstances don't change. When I'm not focused on the Lord, the circumstances are the same, but I'm defeated, if you want. I'm stressed out. So, we're going to go back to that verse, the Ephesians 1, what I had read earlier. Ephesians 1, verse 15 and 22. I ain't got no jokes for you while you go to it. Pastor's good at that one. I'm just a substitute pastor. A preacher, he said. Substitute preacher. Never been called that before that I can remember. I hope that's a good thing. Okay, Ephesians 1. Now, I just read it earlier. There's a difference of reading the Bible and studying it. Now, you know, for time, I can't go through every word and, you know, go to the Greek and everything. And that's good to do, to find out things. But actually, it takes the Holy Spirit to teach you what it really means. How come there's people who know Greek that don't trust in Christ? You know what I mean? But it's good to go to the Greek and you see the tenses and things like, we have been saved by grace. That means, I think it's a perfect tense. It could be, don't take my word on that, but it means it happened at one point in time with continuing results. That's why you have eternal life. But it takes the Holy Spirit, as we study, He's got to really teach us. We got to stay in dependence on Him. Therefore, I also, after I heard the word of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. All right, let's just start there. Paul, as soon as he finds out somebody's a believer, what's he start doing? Paul's our pattern, right? Our example. He starts praying for them. How about you? When you run into somebody who's a believer, but they don't agree with our mid-acts dispensational viewpoint, if you want, that I believe is based on truth that makes the most logical sense for the Word of God. Are we praying for him? Are we thankful? I met another brother in the Lord. Or are we, oh, this is another hard one I'm going to have to crack. You know what I mean? Are we being loving? Like, man, they're a part of us. We can agree to disagree, but we need to speak the truth in love. And then we want to be there. And if they see the love and our care for them, they're more apt to want to listen to us. So Paul's praying something here. He wants them to know something. He wants them to understand the mystery. We find out later in Ephesians chapter 3. But he's thanking God for them. And then he's asking something. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now here's where study and see, just read past that, say, well, that sounds cool. Open eyes, my understanding. I like that. But we don't meditate on it and think it through. What's it mean? You know what them? That's he's saying one thing, that we might see what? See the mystery. See it clearly. Who opens your understanding? The Holy Spirit. So that we might have, in verse 17, the idea is a spirit teaching mind. And then in verse 17, knowledge is in the Greek, it means perfect, full, and complete. Paul prays that not only these are for believers, he's not praying for them to get saved. Now we need to pray for God brings us into people's lives that are ready to hear the gospel, right? But also for believers, that God, see, we're not going to be able to convince them if the Holy Spirit hasn't prepared, convicted their hearts, and maybe even showed them things like, well, why does it say this here and that there, and it's so confusing, you know? When they're thinking now, what's the answer? Oh, son, all you got to do is be available. Here you come walking up. Hey, what's up? And I'm confused. Oh, no problem. All of a sudden, Christ in you expressing His truth out of you. And all of a sudden, wow, I never thought of that. Yeah. Oh, let me share this with you. You know, so, but we got to be patient. Dave did a great article in the Berean. Actually, in the back, I think last month, somebody said they got really blessed by two articles. One was Dave's about being easy on someone when you're sharing. Not, you know, mean to them. And anyway, the idea here is Paul's praying for is that in verse 17, God through His Holy Spirit will via through their human spirit give them wise and enlightened minds in the truth encompassing Christ. See, you got to rightly divide the word to get to the truth for today. But there's truth for today. The Holy Spirit's got to illumine our mind. Grasp it. What is your identity in Christ? Who are you as a child of God, a member of the body of Christ? I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm not spiritual Israel, right? Well, what's that mean? It means you're holy, without blemish, perfect in God's sight. How is God looking at you? Smiling. Has He disgusted with you? Have you done things this week? Have you thought wrong things? I have. You feeling like, you know, hiding in the corner of the church because everybody else got it together but me. Yeah. I used to go to church and everybody's in their suits and, you know, now dress nice. I always like dressing nice. But I'm like, I know God, I'm the one God's disgusted with because I was under legalism and bondage. God is pleased with you in His Son. Yet there's a pleasing of when we're walking in the Spirit and He's producing the fruit and we're allowing Him to, we make ourselves available. See, that's our, if you want, responsibility. It's our response to His ability. We make ourselves available by not getting caught up in things. So God can use us, so He can touch people in our families, people at work, people we come in contact with. If we're available, God wants to do it. And so, Satan don't want. See, he can't do nothing about your salvation, can he? You got eternal life, you got temporary, you got probation. What's it called? Eternal life, right? He can't do nothing about that. Praise God. If you took your life and just messed it up, like in Corinthians said, at the Bema steps, at the judgment seat of Christ, for believers, it's not a judgment for your sins, it's for rewards. You might not have nothing there. Not much anyway. But you'll be saved as through fire. So you're saved. But why would we want to waste a whole life and get there and say, were them things that important? Because Satan's like, you need to make more money. Got all these problems with your kids. Ain't got money for bills. You got this. You got this. Trying to get our attention on everything else. Got to get on Facebook. Oh, I can't miss that game today because I get 3 games if I get it. I know because I do it sometimes. But then I start thinking, how much time am I putting in this? How much time am I putting in the Word? Or sports. You know, you got cable, you can watch sports every night. Or is my focus all on my kids? You need to love your kids, you need to be there, but is it all my life, is it above Christ? Is it, where's the focus on? Because Satan don't care where it's on as long as it ain't on Christ. Because when we're focused on Christ, beholding is becoming. As we're focused on Him, and we're growing in His grace, and we're dependent on Him, He expresses itself out of us. And other people see it. Satan don't want that, does he? So, we have to have Spirit-taught minds. So you have to go to the Word, because He only teaches you through the Word. He doesn't speak voices in your ears. I love that when people go, God spoke to me and told me, you know, the one guy told me, God tells me when to go on a fast. I think his stomach is talking to him, and he's got that grumbling. He thinks that it's the deep sound of God or something like that. God speaks to His Word, so we got to get into His Word, right? And then the Holy Spirit brings His Word to our mind as we meditate on it. See, it's not just reading it. Okay, I did my 3 chapters in the morning. I'm good for the day. It's as we see, it's praying. There's weapons of our warfare. We're in a war. And Paul says, walk circumspectly. You know what that means? It means like a cat on the top of a fence. You know how they place, you ever see a cat? They're so cool. Very carefully. 1 foot, they're real light. Very careful. And you'll entirely see them fall off because they're circumspectly. That's what Paul tells us to walk in our lives. Because sometimes we're going along, praise the Lord, skip to the loo, my darling, you know. And just, we're not focused on Him in a way. Praise the Lord, I did my time in the morning. I did 5 minutes of Bible study and my quiet time. And then, don't talk to the Lord the rest of the day. How would you like your child says, I'm going to call you once a week, Mom, Dad. Every week I'm going to make sure, because I'm going to discipline myself to make sure I call you. Well, you say, what about the rest of the week? Oh, I'm going to make sure just... How do you think God feels when it's just, all we do is 5 minutes in the morning? Or when we need something. Hey, Dad. Can I get some more money? I ain't talked to you for 6 months. Why you call me just for money? Because you're my dad. And God wants us to come to Him, right? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request. But He wants us to fellowship, part of the glory of His grace, what we have in Christ. Our identity is because we're holy without blemish, perfect in His sight. We can come boldly before His throne of grace and mercy. It's a privilege that all day long we talk to God. That's our prayer. He talks to us through His Word. We're speaking back what He's teaching us. Because what can you tell God that He don't know? Right? He can tell us a whole lot that we don't know. But He says, so that idea, it's got to be the Holy Spirit to teach us. Open up our understanding. Turn the light on. And He said, He wants us to know in 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That's not our inheritance. That's His. Christ inherited some with us. And it's talking about the riches of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. That's resurrection power, folks. When Christ rose from the dead, think what it took. Every sin on the world, every sin every human did from Adam till the end of time, Christ suffered and paid. I got a poster in my kitchen that has Christ with the cross on his back doing push-ups, and it says, can you bench press this? See, Christ was a man. Men don't cry, but right, older guys? Why does it say Christ was a man's man? He was strong, carpenter. He stood up to people that other people were intimidated with. And you know what else? Boys don't cry, right? Ain't that what they bring thing with worldly ideas? What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Men cry. But men, God wants to make us men and women, adults, tough ones. Tough grace warriors. Not when something happens. What do I do? You know what to do if you're into this word? And we all get like that, right? Don't we? I know me, Mary knows. Bills ain't paid. What are you going to do? They just turn off our phone and internet service and stuff. So then we had some other bills come in, and she starts really freaking out. And I said, honey, if we worry about it, get stressed out, is it going to change the circumstances? No. So what do? You pray. And here's the whole thing. God is more concerned than changing your circumstances, using you to glorify His Son. Using you and teaching you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can say, what are you facing today? Bring to your mind. What's been on your mind? Is it some kind of, could be a fleshly sin going this way you're struggling with or whatever? Or is it worry? Or is it something with your kids? Or, you know what I mean? What's been bugging you? What's Satan using, the fiery darts? Mary calls them doubting darts. What's he been throwing your way? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And how do you know? Unless you go through it. Now you got experience. Right? Tribulation produces perseverance, endurance, character, or experience. Gives you experience. So now when you share with somebody, plus they're looking at you, is your faith real? Oh boy, I can quote scripture. Right? I know the whole first chapter. I can quote you a Colossians. Or Philippians, that chapter. I can quote that whole thing. Oh, really? You can quote it, but do you know it? All of a sudden you're going through things and they see a chewing your nails and where's their faith? Or do they see you? See, in our weakness, we can be real in front of unbelievers too. You know, sometimes we're trying to be this super Christian. I can't let them know I struggle. Well, then they can't relate to you. Right? You're this churchgoer. Ooh, they're really religious. Saint Peter, Saint Paul, you know. But see, they see us in our weakness and they can relate to us. But then they see Christ in you. They see that peace. Sure, you're going through things and sometimes, you know, why does God tell us be anxious for none? Because we get anxious, right? So when you're going through it, you start applying the Word of God. You start praying. These are weapons of our warfare because Satan's going to throw stuff. But we can walk everything he throws at us. Guess what? That situation you're going through, my situation, God's working it for good. Isn't he? Ain't that what he says? So we live by faith and not by sight. Faith doesn't make things happen. Oh, I'm going to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You know, I'm going to prosper with money. And you know, that's faith. You know, words of faith, no, it ain't. Living by faith means I depend. Like where it says in Romans chapter 6, the mechanics of the Christian life. God said you died with Christ, you were buried, you rose, He took you out of the fallen human race. What do you do with the dead body? Place him in the tomb. It says you were baptized into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He didn't get baptized in water, did he? He wasn't buried in water. It means God placed you into. So he took you out of Adam, and then you rose with Christ to newness of life. Christ is in us now. And whatever we go through, we depend on him because you try in your own strength. You'll fall every time. That's a secret to the Christian life. It's rightly dividing the word so we can know how to apply it. But some people, you know, I call them doctrine heads. They get all this knowledge. But they never had learned about dependence on Christ. That's what I love about Bob George. He focused, he's such a good teacher here, how God sees you. Because God starts out transforming by the renewing of our mind. He shows us who He's made us in Christ, so then walk in the Spirit. Are you faking? Are you acting? No, this is who we are. It's the most natural thing to act like that. Why do you forgive? Because I'm forgiven. Why do you love? Because I'm unconditionally in love. Why do I speak the truth? Why do I speak the truth in love? Because God in love speaks the truth through His Word to me. It's natural. See, that's what God's trying to do. Trying to heal. See, the world wants to what? Conform you, right? Satan wants to conform you to his thinking. That's why it's so important to get in this Word. This is where the Dave actually, I got kind of convicted, and we don't like that part. The Word transforms us. But he was talking about it's a two-edged sword, and it lays us open, fillets us, shows us our wrong attitudes. Because the Word of God is what? Useful for doctrine or teaching, rebuking. Don't want to be rebuked. Correcting. It's really killing me now. Like, I should have went to that Word and Faith church. They would have told me everything I wanted to hear today. But you know, I remember even when I went to the Pentecostal church for years, and all of a sudden that pastor be... You ever hear that little story about two... This is in honor of our pastor, a little joke. Got to throw one, you're used to that, right? Two old ladies, the pastor starts preaching about adultery. Two little old ladies in the back, yeah, preach it. Right? Then he's preaching about lying. Oh, yeah, he's preaching good today. You know, preaching about greed. Ooh, I know that's a Holy Spirit, right? And then all of a sudden he starts preaching about gossiping. And they said, ooh, he's meddling now. Okay. So he's speaking to us. But I remember sitting in the seat, and it was something about me. And you know, if you think God only works in mid-Acts dispensational churches, I'll tell you, He wouldn't have much to work with over the way. He uses people who are, when they're accurate in this Word, and the Holy Spirit knows their heart, Holy Spirit convicts, and I start scooting down my seat. You know, it's like, conviction, right? But you know what I'd say, Lord? Thank you. I want to know because I want to grow. If God don't show us, but then He doesn't just show us, He doesn't condemn us, He's showing us because He says, see, why is that even there? Stupid Lord, you know. And He says, here's what I want to do. I want to take this out. Your little stuffed animal that you've been hugging, but it's not really satisfying. It can't lick your face. It can't kiss you back. And I want to give you a live puppy. And all of a sudden you forget about where that was. And all of a sudden you start growing. And things start falling off. Habits and ways of thinking patterns. But one thing, don't get discouraged, because sometimes we have thinking patterns for years. They got strongholds, I think. Scripture, you could define as a stronghold. And so God will show us, and I thank God He doesn't show me everything at once. I think I'd have a heart attack, everything He wanted to do in my life. And even today, because you go, I ain't where I once was. You know, or I ain't what I should be, like they say, but I ain't where I once was. God, it takes time. He's willing, He's patient with us, and He's willing, even when you're stubborn, He's still wooing you. What a wonderful God we have. Amen? And so He says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Talking about the body of Christ today. Let's go to Colossians 1, 9 to 13. Just a couple letters to the left. And this is like a sister epistle of Ephesians. You'll see a lot of things. Because this is after Acts 28 and Paul's prison epistles. Remember, over a 30-year period, Paul, over the book of Acts, Paul received revelation upon revelation. Remember in Corinthians, he says, I'll come to revelations. So at that time, they didn't have all that doctrine, all that information about the body of Christ, the dispensation of grace. But by this time, we're at the heights of the wonder of His grace. And now we got it all. That's why you didn't need partial gifts anymore, tongues and prophecy and things. Because when you got it all now, the complete Word of God, you don't need impartial anymore. Like Paul says, when I was a child, what did he do? He did childish things, right? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Today in the church, a lot of it, they're trying to play with toys. The gifts that ain't happening no more. You know, it's real easy to look. This wasn't even planned on my thing, but, you know, I just go where I go as I'm preaching. It's real easy to jump around the church. It's real easy to go, Ashanai, Ikahai, Shabbatai. That's real easy to do. It's real easy to lay your hands on somebody or like Benny Hinn, blow them over and they're almost like hypnotized. They fall over, right? You know. It's real easy to tell people God will give you everything you want, all your riches, and He'll heal you. You'll get the world will fill it up. But to love your enemies, to forgive, see, that you can play plastic fruit. But to be there for someone in the hard times, to love them, when they're not loving you, husband and wife, I'm married, I know. Mary, she's the most wonderful wife, I think, in the world, but sometimes she does things. And me, I know I get on her nerves. But you love each other, no matter what, because God loves us unconditionally. When someone does something, you forgive them. Why? Because Christ forgave you. Unless you think you're more spiritual than God, more righteous, that you shouldn't forgive. That's a hard thing, even when you understand grace, forgiveness, right? Because you know what they did to me? They made me do that to them. Sure, my kids made me smack them around. My husband, get her head going, my husband with his attitude, he thinks I'm going to serve him. Look at the way he walked. God said, women, wives, what? Submit, respect your husband. Yeah, but you know what? You know what he does? He don't lead like a leader. I'll do it if he does his part. Oh no, God said, I'm talking to you. Remember when they said, when Christ, they says, he said, well, what if, he said, I can't think of what it was exactly, but the idea was Christ told them, don't worry about him. You know, and husbands, I'm supposed to love this woman? Man, she gets smart with me. I ask her not to do these things. She still does them. I'm going to love her? Yeah. Love as Christ gave itself for the church, right? That's you. That's your member of it. See, don't go by your feelings. Because feelings will mislead you. Satan will give you feelings. But he says, for this reason, since the day we heard it, Colossians 1:9. We do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, He wants us, God, see, that's the Holy Spirit through Paul writing to the body of Christ, right? And He wants us to be filled with wisdom. See, it has to do with our mind. That's where the battle is. The battle is usually in our minds. God wants to get our attention. And Christ is the only one who... Everything demands our attention, but only Christ deserves it, right? That's why, so then as you began in Christ Jesus, continue in Him, how'd you begin in Him? Dependence. You trusted in Him. How do you live the Christian life? Focus, depend on Him. And you go back to the beginning. Focus on Christ, what He's did. And He says, there's a reason now, because we get people who like to... every time you talk to them, they want to argue about something dispensationally. When I tried to give things that differed about George, he said, no thanks. And now, I told him, I said, you know, his ministry had meant so much to me. Where I learned about the difference of law and grace and my identity in Christ. And that just set me free to want to serve God and know God could use me and just to be available. And so I wanted to give, I said, so your ministry in your book, Classic Christianity, there's three books I think I would give every believer, every new believer for sure, and every believer. Classic Christianity, Things That Differ, and maybe the Green Letters. And of course, the number one would be the Word of God. But so I had got blessed through his ministry. The Holy Spirit had used him because he came out of legalism. And the best people, I think, that teach grace, that was in legalism, bondage. And now they really see the difference and they're out of it. So, you know what he said? I said, because you've been such a blessing to me, I would like to share you because this man and his ministry through writing has been such a blessing to me. He said, no, no thanks. And I'm like, why not? And he says, because everybody I know who reads that is argumentative. And I was thinking, well, they'd say the same thing about you, in a way. You know what I mean? Because when people understand law and grace, and then all of a sudden you're talking to other believers that don't, and they want to argue because they're traditions. But sometimes there are. Instead of us wanting to reach out in love and help another believer grasp the mystery so he can know God's will, sometimes we just want to look smart. We study so I can go to other Bible studies and correct their teacher. And when I lead their boy, I look real smart. That's not it. It's why do we want to understand? Why do we want to rightly divide the word? Why do we go to Paul's epistles and find out what's our instructions, our God's will for the body of Christ? In verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now, are we worthy? No, we never were worthy. But our walk, it's like if I would tell my son's name's Paul Ballback the Fort. When, if he was younger and I'd say he was going to go out, and I'd say, Paul, remember you're a Ballback. Remember your identity. Go walk worthy as a Ballback. It's just, this is who you are. Don't bring shame upon the name. It's not your walk is going to be your earning. It's just, this is who you are. Get out there, walk tall, and bring honor to the family name. That's why we rightly divide the word. That's why we study the word. And that's why we apply it so we can walk worthy. And look at this. Fully pleasing him. So there's a way. See, God's pleased in Christ. We're, when he looks at you, he sees Christ's righteousness. But also, it pleases him when we walk, apply the word of God to our lives, and we're walking under grace. And just Christ is expressing himself out of us. The Holy Spirit's producing fruit. It brings glory to the name of Christ. That should be, not that everything is good in our lives. Our goal should be what? Bring glory to the name of Christ. Right? Our Lord, our Savior. And it doesn't matter. Paul said he's learned something in Philippians, right? How to be based, he didn't have much at times. How to be full, he had more than enough at times. But he learned something. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he said he's become convinced. You've seen his epistles. I've become convinced. Paul had to learn too. And he had to apply that knowledge that Christ gave him. And when you see Paul's life, you see it bringing what? Glory to Christ, right? If he would have quit, we wouldn't even have scriptures to rightly divide. You know, so we shouldn't quit either. You know why? Because you can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. And instead of us whining so much, we should say, thank you, Lord. Glorify yourself in this. Yes, Lord, would you provide this? And I would like to see this change in my children's life, or my husband, my wife. Whatever circumstances we face, don't... I'm going to have to close up. I just have a couple more, and we'll end. Philippians 4:13. So when you're facing something, what do you do? Because Satan's trying to get your attention on your problem. Because he doesn't care. Or he'll get your attention on your religion. He works best through religion, you know that? He works best through the Word, not rightly divided. Because the Word of God is powerful, isn't it? And if you don't rightly divide it, you're going to have a confused thing. So what are you going to have? A confused congregation. And what a shame If there's any pastors listening on the internet or something, like Moses, 40 years he's teaching these people in the desert. And after that he's complaining to God, oh, these rebellious, stiff-necked people, well, shame on you because you've been teaching them 40 years. So it says something about your leadership. Though, you know, I'm putting Moses down. They were a stiff-necked. But I'm, you know what I'm saying? What if a pastor, there's a guy, we went to this, it was a concert at this church, and outside carnival and stuff. And I seen this guy, he's my age, 55 years old. He's going to a church I used to go to. He just met a lady, they're seeing each other. He felt he had to tell the pastor and get his okay. And then the pastor started telling him some things. You got to be accountable to someone. This is a 55-year-old guy, and I'm thinking, all the years that guy been in that church, if you're teaching right, accurate, you're teaching the grace of God, motivated by the love of God, right? With dependence that the Holy Spirit empower you. And if after that dude's been going there 25 years, and I got to have somebody hold your hand when you date a lady, something's wrong with that. I'd be ashamed if I was a pastor. But that's what legalism does. It tries to control every detail. It tells you how much to pay. So the pastor makes sure he gets his. I'm sure our pastor don't get that much. Praise God that he's been faithful all these years, right? With the low salary, and I, from my understanding, I remember he used to paint too. You know, so thank God for all the grace pastors, because it's a lot of usually low churches, and sometimes they have to work another job. But anyway, what do we do? What is God's will? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that we give thanks in all things. Why can you give thanks? Because God's Romans 8:28. He's working all things for our good. We live by faith and not sight. We start thanking God, even when we don't feel like it. Remember, our emotions respond to our thoughts. If I'm having thankful thoughts, what's my emotions going to be? Rejoicing. And what's Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. That's God's will for us. We should be rejoicing. Does that mean you got to jump around skipping? No. It's just a thankful attitude. And how can you have that? Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Christ can come back at any time. Forget that dingbat who says they're trying to the rapture is going to happen on this day. Scripture, it's a mystery. It could happen any time. So when somebody succeeds by knowing this word, rightly dividing this word, you don't get caught up in all that garbage. But He is coming back. So all your problems, maybe today they'll end. And not only that, the Lord's at hand. He can come back. He's in you. He's that close. You don't go through nothing alone. Teenagers, you feel isolated sometimes, like nobody don't understand. Body's going through changes. Christ, if you know Christ, He's with you. Everything we face, He's in us. That's why we can do all things through us. And so what do? Be anxious for none. Well, you don't know my problems. How can I not get anxious? My kids are starting to do drugs. And you know what else kind of bothers me sometimes? When believers talk more about politics than they do about the Lord. I like Fox News. I think that's the most balanced. But I like listening to both sides, so you get both sides of the story. But do you know Hannity? He's a Roman Catholic. He believes you got to do works. That's what Rome teaches. He believes in apparitions of Mary. He had a thing on his show. What's his name? Glenn Beck. He became a Mormon for his wife. So, though I appreciate them and some of the things they do, I'm not following them dudes. They don't even understand the Word of God. And they're not rightly divided. And then Rush Limbaugh, he said he's a Christian. I don't know if he is or not. But he's the most puffed up believer I ever met. He said, I'm the greatest. You're going to get the news here, you know. And everybody's all worried. Ooh, got to get Obama out. Got to get the Republicans in. Well, they're politicians too. And we're focused. Ooh, the war. This is happening. And Satan's just, yeah, think about this. Run over here. Think about this. I ain't got no girlfriend. I'm a teenager. I'm 13 and I ain't even dated yet. Take your time. Get over the pimples first. But you know what I mean? Satan doesn't care. He's throwing darts. I don't got enough time today to go through everything in Ephesians. Read it for yourself, the warfare. But this is warfare right here. When Satan wants to get your attention and everything else, we need to focus on Christ. Because sometimes I notice that, like, I go out, you know, I do my thing in the morning, get into the Word, I'm preparing, like, for preaching, or I'm doing my personal, and, you know, I'm talking with God and stuff, and then, all of a sudden, I guess God's saying, my thing just blew out. A mighty wind blew through the place, so that God's saying, close it out. My notes just flew out. And then I start leaving, and usually I'll turn on a CD. Because to me, I don't like wasting time. You know, like Dave would go through Hebrews and Acts, or the pastor, I was listening yesterday to John, or even just some good teaching, grace teaching CDs. But then all of a sudden I start doing this, like I went and trained some dogs. God really blessed me this week with a couple of them. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, man, I ain't focused on the Lord. A little bit. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm just going to talk with you, Lord. You know what I mean? When you get your focus off, what should you do? If you're not walking in the Spirit, what do you do? Start walking in the Spirit. Right? Get your focus back on. And it becomes a habit. Prayer is so important, too. We need to get in this Word, right? I'm going to have to do it by memory now. My notes are down there. But 2 Timothy, I'm going to end exactly with this. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you. Starting in verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearance and kingdom. Preach the Word. So we need to be in church, don't we? So we hear the Word. Preach. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Be ready in season, not a season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering teaching. We need them things, right? Because sometimes God's got to point things out. Because He loves us. He disciplines us through the Word. That's where He corrects us. That's where He would chastise us. Not like Israel, physical punishment. He works through the Word. And He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This isn't exactly what I was looking for. But let me look at 1 Timothy. But it's that same idea. Forget it. I'm just going to tell you what it is because... here it is. 1 Timothy 4, 11 to 16. Yeah. These things command and teach. So Paul's talking to a young pastor, but this can apply to us. Let no one despise your youth. So see, Scripture talks to young people. It's not just for adults, for young people too. Because the choices you make are going to affect your life, what's going to happen. When I was younger, actually I was going to ask you one time if I could give a testimony back in the Sunday school, because I could share some wrong choices I made and end up screwing a lot of years up. A lot of bad things till I understood the grace of God and started applying it. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct. So this can apply to us too. It's not just the pastor, I don't believe. In love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So what do you need to get into? Not only in the church, but even in your personal life. Reading, studying. Exhortation, encouraging believers. Be a part of one another's life. Let me ask them, you ever call anybody from the church besides somebody you know? Hey, because I've been convicted a little bit about this myself. I used to do that at this other church. Even if I didn't know him, you go through the church, what do you call it, the phone number things, and just, hey, yeah, this is Paul from church. Who, Paul? No, a little guy with toothpick sits in the back. You know, and just wondering how you're doing. You need prayer for anything? You'd be surprised what people go through. And then you get to know each other, share each other's lives. It's not just coming into church, hey, don't touch my donut. Get over there and grab it, you know what I mean? That ain't just fellowship, you know? But cherish, and when people see the love and caring, they see Christ. And he said, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the lady laying on the hands of eldership. Now you're gifted someplace. The Holy Spirit's in you. Every ability you have, every gift is from God. Even if it's in my wife's an artist, that's a gift from God. And so Paul talks about to Timothy, stir up the gift. Allow God to use whatever. Just be available to God and He'll use you. And he says, here's what I'm going to get to and close up. He said, do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy and the laying on the hands of the fellowship. Meditate on these things. What do we got to do? Meditate on what? Doctrine from the Word of God. You know what doctrine is? It's not don't just mean teaching. You know what doctrine is? Something taught as a body of principles. I looked it up. See, it's not just one thing. It's all in Paul's epistles. That whole body of truth. All them principles. The grace truth. Meditate on them. So what do? We study and then what? Meditate means think. When you're thinking about that, are you thinking about the other garbage? Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed. That's a word we need to think about. Our decisions, what we do with our hours, what we do with our life. If we don't take heed and walk circumspectly, carefully, we'll fall into things. And in one day, you can ruin your whole testimony. Know that? Men who, at work, this chick's been looking good. She ain't worth it. Ladies, some guy been giving you a little attention because your husband's been being a jerk. It ain't worth it. One day, you could have a good testimony for years. Walk circumspectly, wisely. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. See, the teaching that Paul gave us. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's not being saved, spiritual salvation, because he talks about in the first verse, and I just close it out, and I got to close out, how in the end times there will be deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. You'll save yourself from being caught up in error. Knowing this word, praying as a weapon, knowing your identity in Christ, putting on all them things of what Christ has did, the shield of faith, you know, the word, the sword of the spirit. You don't go after saying, you stand. But you got one offensive weapon, learn to wield it. But we got to study, meditate, and what? Pray. I'm learning that more and more. Prayer is so important. It's not just knowing everything. Now, let me find out my relationship with God. Let's get closer and more intimate. We're blessed. And we started late, so I went late. So I'm going to close up with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace, Lord. If it wasn't for your grace, God, where would we be? We thank you that you sent your Son to die on a criminal's cross. We were the criminals, Lord. We broke your law. And Lord, I pray if there's one who's never trusted in your Son, maybe they've been religious, but you said those in the flesh, those born in Adam, cannot please you. I pray that they'll, like my old pastor say, lay their deadly doing down and realize that they can't save themselves. They'd have to be perfect, keep the law perfect, and no one is. And that's what the law is supposed to do, is show us, convict us of our sin, that we might come to Christ as our Savior. I pray they'll just agree with you, God, confess they're a sinner. Just be honest. and trust that Christ died for their sins and be eternally saved. And for us, Lord, who know You, I pray, Lord, that You'll teach us to apply Your Word, and then even in them areas where we don't want to let go, I pray that we'll be more available, God, for them to see Christ, those in the world and our families. And we just thank You. We'll live by faith and not sight. And thank You for what You've done in us and what You'll do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And then my wife was going to sing a song.